Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. They took care of you when you were growing up. They raised you. But now things have changed. Your parents or other loved ones are getting older, vulnerable, and they may need your help. So how do you go about doing that? Well, September is Healthy Aging Month, and we have experts to walk us through this delicate issue. Laura Newland is the director of the D.C. Department of Aging and Community Living, and Rita Shula is director of caregiving for the AARP Public Policy Institute. If you have questions or comments about how to help our senior loved ones, older parents, perhaps older grandparents, those members of the family who are moving beyond the golden years, who may need some help, maybe a lot of help, give us a call, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You are welcome to tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Rita, Laura, thank you both for joining the conversation.
Thank you for having me, Harold.
Absolutely. So, Rita, let me start with you. How do you know when to step in? What should you be looking for with, say, older parents?
You know, first I just want to thank you again for having this conversation. It's such a critical conversation in all communities. But with the onset of COVID, it is just even more critical in the Black community. I think oftentimes we think of caregiving and we're doing it and don't even know we're doing it. We're just being the daughter or son or grandchild. And I think critical things to your question to really look for are when you start to see changes in individuals. We're coming up on the holiday season, which typically is a really good time to be able to see what's going on in the home of someone that you're not typically in or engaged with on a daily basis. And so you may see a parent starting to forget things, or you may see a change in how they handle their finances or in their overall demeanor. We know that many older adults become isolated, and COVID has only heightened that. And so looking out for just changes in their behavior, and when things don't quite seem right, and beginning to have that conversation and ask questions around that for them.
Mm-hmm. Laura, how do you have those conversations? What do you suggest in starting to speak on these things with a parent, for example?
That's a really great question. And thank you so much for hosting this conversation. I think it's a conversation we often like to avoid because we're not sure about it. And I think the important thing is just have the conversation. We're all aging. We can't predict what's going to happen tomorrow. And we need to make sure that we are supporting each other in all the ways that we can. And so, you know, I think it's a great way just, and you don't even have to attach it to age. You can just say something like, hey, if you ever were in the hospital for something, what would you want? Right? Like, what's important to you? Those kinds of things. And I think just getting the ball started is a great way to be able to ask some questions, talk about anxieties, you know, what you're concerned about, what your parents are concerned about. Because I think the reason why we avoid these conversations is that we're afraid of loss. And, you know, the loss will be so much harder if we never have these conversations with our loved ones.
Yeah, I think you bring up a really good point about loss and what I think is primary for so many seniors is the loss of independence. Rita, talk to me about how significant that is, not only in conversation, but when you begin to see those things happening, when the seniors begin to see those kinds of things happen?
You know, it's a very, very difficult position for the older adult and for that caregiver, for that family member to see. It's, you know, I think back to my grandmother, and she was an extremely independent person well into her 80s, but began to have trouble seeing and then couldn't drive. She was driving, and that was one of the most difficult conversations that I had to have, because I had to respect and understand that level of independence that she treasured for her entire life. And the thought of her not being able to drive really hurt her. And so it was a very challenging conversation to have, but it was something that we did as a family. I think that there are other instances, and what we tend to want to do is rush in and save the day and not understand that level of independence that this individual requires and deserves. And so the ability to take a step back and kind of be in their shoes and seek out resources to help have those conversations and be supportive of individuals and let them have a say-so in how they want to be supported, I think is critical.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about taking care of the elderly in our families as they begin to lose the independence that they have enjoyed for many, many decades. How do you step in? What are those conversations like? How do you make it comfortable for them and for you and other family members as you seek to make sure that their quality of life is the best that it can be as they get older? If you have a comment or if you have a question about taking care of the older members of your family, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Carl, calling from Baltimore County. Carl, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Just calling. I'm very much in the middle of it. I was telling the person that that answered the phone that I'm actually on my way back. I'm trying to do it from long distance. I'm actually on my way back to Maryland from North Carolina. Made a day trip to take my mom to a doctor's appointment. Just been contending with it. It's becoming more and more real over the last year or so. My brother and I were trying to do it, but I lost my brother this spring. So it's primarily me. My mom does have some siblings in the area, but they're aging. And just found out that my one uncle, whose wife tends to step in and help me out, she's dealing with her, you know, with my uncle, who's been determined as critically ill. So he only has, like, maybe 2 months that they're anticipating that he'll be with us.
Rita, do you have any suggestions or resources for Carl that may make things a little easier for him, since obviously, you know, AARP is a national, you know, organization. He's in North Carolina and dealing with an elderly parent in Maryland.
No, it's reverse.
Oh, you're in Maryland and the parent is in North Carolina.
Yes.
Okay. Same difference. Rita.
And Carl, thank you so much for calling in and sharing your story. And I think that you really highlight something that we don't typically think about, that caregiver being a man, being son, and sharing your story, being that long-distance caregiver, which definitely can be challenging. There are organizations in every state that are called Area Agencies on Aging, and I know Laura will be able to speak to this as well, that offer resources. You can talk to someone in your state, so in Maryland, through the Department of Aging, you can find a local resource there to guide you, but then also in North Carolina, AARP.org /caregiving also has just a number of resources for family caregivers. I think often you talked about, we talked to caregivers about forming a team, but Carl, you were very specific in that you did have a team, but then because of illness and other reasons, that team is really whittling down to you. And so the important thing is that you do reach out for resources, both within your own state, but then also where your mother is in her local community, to because you're not there every day, to try to build those resources.
Okay. Well, thank you for that, Rita. And Carl, thank you so much for sharing with us. Laura, in the District of Columbia, what kind of resources are available for district residents, and what kinds of things might you, for example, suggest for children, adult children that are noticing some of those changes, and those parents who are making that, you know, that transition from independence to dependence?
Yeah, that's a great question. So for all the listeners who are D.C. residents, I'm going to tell you that D.C. is the best city in the world to age. People laugh when I say that, but it's just absolutely true. We have a mayor, Muriel Bowser, who is really committed to older adults in D.C., funding senior services. Every time she sees me, she's like, Laura, what's new? What have you created to make life easier for our seniors? And so the big thing, I think, is like Rita said, aging is really, and caregiving is really about a conversation and a relationship. So when we think about caregiving, I know we are talking about adult caregivers. And so there are caregiving resources that we have, supportive resources. And I would tell Carl, you know, he is not alone. I know it must feel like he is doing this on his own, but I really encourage him to reach out to the resources that Rita had mentioned earlier. You can call our number if you're in D.C. at 202-724-5626. And for the person who is aging, I think the most important thing is really to stay active. So as a caregiver, part of what I would say is encourage your parents to be active and to get out of the house, do socialization. We have 6 senior wellness centers throughout the city. They are just 6 buildings where seniors can come out and hang out all day, play games, have fitness, eat lunch, and just talk to friends. And we have meal sites all across the city. And so, you know, we know that senior isolation and loneliness is really linked to a lot of negative health outcomes and declines. And so that is the number one thing I'd say, is that it's so important that people get out of the house and make those connections. And I think I saw this with my grandparents as they got older. You know, they told me, well, my friends are passing away and there's not that much to do and I'm not in great health. But the thing is, the more that you push yourself, your brain health and your physical health, the better, the longer you're going to stay well. And so that's what we really encourage, and encourage our caregivers to encourage. And then the final thing I'd say about caregivers is that self-care is so critical. And I think when you are in it, that it's hard to think about yourself because you are so focused on the person who's receiving care. But caregivers are truly the backbone of our communities. And so we don't want you to get burnt out. We have respite programs for you to just take a break every once in a while. It's okay to say that you need a break. And so, you know, I think there are a lot of options we'd love to talk to caregivers about. And we'd love to talk to your parents about too, if they're available. We have something for everybody here.
Yeah, it sounds like it. We've got a lot to talk about on the program tonight. And we have a lot of people who are trying to get through on the line. We have Clarence from D.C. We have Tootie from Virginia. I want to tell both of you, stay on the line. You will be able to hear the program. And I am going to get to you in just a bit. So please do not hang up. Lines are still open. And if you're having difficulty getting through, please keep trying. If it's busy, just call back. We will get to you, and I promise we will take your call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're going to take a very short break, but don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum on the Insight segment, the via podcast on WHUR.com. You can just go to your computer to WHUR.com after 8:30, and you can hear this program on podcast, or you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141 and 96.3 HD2, the app. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. We'll be back in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about healthy aging and taking care of our loved ones as they move beyond the golden years. When do we step in? How do we step in? How do we keep the quality of life for the seniors in our lives the best that they can be? My guests are Laura Newland. She is the director of the D.C. Department of Aging and Community Living, and Rita Shula. She is the director of caregiving for the AARP Public Policy Institute. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Clarence, calling from D.C., what's on your mind?
How you doing, sir?
I'm doing just fine, thanks.
I'd like to have some more resources for my mother. She's 81 years old. She had dementia and Alzheimer's real bad. And it seems like I'm getting a lot of runarounds in Washington, D.C.
Laura?
I'm so sorry to hear that. I will, if you call our number, it's 202-724-5626. Tell them that you are listening to this show, and we want to make sure that you are taken care of. We do have a lot of resources, and so I want to make sure a member of my team has an individual conversation with you about your mother and what she needs, and we'd be happy to follow up with you on that.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And by the way, Clarence, that number and the other resources that are being mentioned on this program, including the AARP, will be on our website on WHUR.com after 8:30 tonight.
So, yes, sir. Your help. Thank you.
You're quite welcome. Good luck to you. You're welcome. Let's go to Tootie calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling, Tootie. What's on your mind?
Good evening. Thank you.
Sure.
Good evening, everyone. My dad is in New York, and I'm in Virginia. And he has the onset of Alzheimer and dementia. And how do I go about getting the assistance, further assistance that he needs? For now, he has assistance during the day, but the evening time, he does not. And it's causing some issues. Currently, I'm on my way to New York. So how do I go about getting further assistance for him?
Rita, might you have some suggestions?
Absolutely. I have a couple of thoughts on this. And Tootie, again, thank you for all you're doing for your father. I know this is especially difficult doing this long distance. Depending on the type of dementia, there are resources, disease-specific resources. So if it is Alzheimer's, and I think Alzheimer's Association does an amazing job in providing guidance and resources to family caregivers like yourself, and they can offer support groups and other help in locales, so in New York, in Maryland, across the country. Additionally, I had mentioned to a previous caller organizations such as Area Aging, area agencies on aging and other Department of Aging resources. And being that long-distance caregiver, you may not have access to that. So AARP has a caregiver resource line, and the number is 1-877-333-5885. And caregivers like yourself can call into that number and explain your challenges, and they can provide you, in collaboration with the elder care locator, they can provide you with a local number where you can get some resources depending on your father's status, what he may qualify for additional assistance, et cetera. And then also, and I say this to all caregivers, and Laura made this point as well, this is a very difficult situation to be in for you as the caregiver, and you are not alone, as Laura said, and be sure to ask for help for yourself. Be sure to be able to try to find a moment for yourself, because this is difficult, and it's important that you care, as difficult as it is to care for yourself in the midst of a crisis, it's critical for yourself and for the person you're taking care of, in your case, your father.
Let me ask you,
Rita,
before we hear from Tootie again, that 877-333-5885 number, what is that number for?
That is a caregiver resource line that AARP has, and you will get a live voice on the end of that line, and you can talk to them about your situation, and they'll be able to give you a number, a local number, for where you are or where your parent lives. They'll be able to connect you. So that you can get that individualized attention. Sometimes it's hard. We go somewhere, we go online, and we get a ton of resources that may not be applicable to our situation, or, you know, what's available in New York or Maryland or wherever. But we will be able to connect you to that local resource.
Tootie, you were going to say something else.
I'm sorry. Thank you. And one more question, because I have a brother, an older brother who's in his 60s, who's in a nursing home with a cognitive something disorder. I'm sorry, it just escaped me. Neurocognitive disorder. Can I use this number for further assistance and with him as well?
Now, is it that you're trying to get insights on his condition or getting him help?
Yes, insights on his condition and, yeah.
So, yes, you can use that number, but if it really is related to his clinical condition, I think it is very important that, you know, you seek guidance from his provider that has diagnosed him with that, as well as trying to work with providers that may be in the nursing home. Now, if there are issues with that and you're not receiving the assistance that you need, then it is important to reach out. And this number can, again, reference you to a local number where they can put you in contact with someone called a long-term care ombudsman that can help as well.
Okay, great.
Tootie, good luck to you. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before we go back to the phone lines, Laura, I want you to share with us your thoughts about, you know, the elephant in the room, the big issue, about dealing with the finances of an elderly loved one. When should you start addressing that, and whether or not you have suggestions for the steps that you need to take to deal with that?
Oh, that is a tough question. You're right. So, you know, one of the things that I will say is that it's really important to pay attention just to how your parents are doing. So like Rita said, and I would say, you know, there's a difference between being a little bit concerned about a little bit of cognitive decline, which happens to all of us as we age, and being concerned for their safety, or being concerned that someone might be trying to, you know, get access to your parents' money and in a fraudulent way. And so, you know, financially, I think this is really why it's so important to have a conversation right now. We should have the conversation right now about, you know, what plans, you know, your parents have, what plans you have for caregiving into the future, and, you know, what they want done. How do they want their money spent? What do they want done with the house? Those kinds of things. We do have programs in DC where we can help people manage their funds in a way that is supportive of people, especially with Alzheimer's or other related dementias. But, you know, when you start seeing on a bank account some suspicious purchases, or your parents are telling you about maybe calls that they're getting, or you know, whatever the case might be, that is a time to dig in a little bit deeper. And you know, those are hard conversations, because you don't want your parents to feel like they're dumb. And I think anyone who's been a victim of a scam, you're like, oh man, I can't believe I fell for that. And so we really have to open it up and say, hey, look, everyone can fall victim to the scam. And so let's make sure we have protective pieces around you so that you know, we can all make sure that you are protected, and that, you know, we can stop some of this stuff before it gets too bad. And so, you know, that is critical, but you got to have the conversation before the decline starts happening.
Yeah. Your thoughts about that, Rita?
I absolutely agree with Laura. I was just going to speak to her final point, is that this is where it's so key that we begin to have these conversations well before any type of decline begins to happen. Because oftentimes family members may think that they're doing the right thing, but they may have no idea. And that older adult is now not in a position to say, this is what I want to happen. I think around one thing to really be cautious of is scams and fraud. AARP has a very strong fraud network. We are very much committed to providing resources to older adults and family members. You can go to our website and find information on that. You can find out what type of scams are happening in your own community or where your family lives, your older adult, and get more information about that. I think that something else that's important to bring up, and we haven't necessarily brought up in this conversation, is our family conflicts. And mm-hmm. oftentimes money really begins to be at the root of that. And so, you know, sometimes when we think about caregiving, we're thinking, oh, we're one big happy family and we're coming together to help mom. And that oftentimes is not the case. And so it is, again, very important to understand and put some type of plan together to, if you're the older adult, protect yourself, but then if you're a caregiver in this situation that can help, to figure out a way to ensure that that older adult is being protected. And it is not always easy. Those family conflicts come up and can really make things difficult.
Yeah. Let's go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Lisa calling from Virginia. Lisa, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, Harold. Hi, panel.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Hello? Go right ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Turn your radio down. Go right ahead.
Okay. Can you hear me now? I don't have it on.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Oh, great. Okay. I'm a caregiver professionally, and I'm also a caregiver for my mother, who's aging and has problems with her eyes. So we have to, you know, do the traveling and her doctors and all that. But just in support of family members, be kind and gentle to yourself. Please listen to these ladies. They're giving you very good, valuable information. Get the paperwork and the conversation rolling now. If there's any dementia going on, you have the Alzheimer's organization. They're open 365, 24/7. They got counselors there. So in that midnight hour, you need someone to talk to. You can talk to them about things of what you're going through and some advice, things like that. If you're putting your loved one If you have to place them in a facility, whether it's a nursing home or a memory care, please do be that voice for your family member. Advocate for them. Please show up. You see something that's wrong, you address it with the executive, the owners. You do what you got to do, the ombudsman, the state regulators, whatever you got to do, you do it. Regarding scams, yes, please look out for that. I'm dealing with that with my father now in Connecticut. He was scammed. And so I contacted the Connecticut State Banking, and they're taking that case. So there's a lot involved, but you can do it. Just get the ball rolling.
Yeah. Lisa, I could not have said it better. There's a laundry list of things that adult children have to face. My parents are aging, and I watched my parents when they were younger dealing with some of the issues with my grandparents, and it is no crystal stair.
Exactly.
And thank you so much for sharing with us. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. If I can say, I'm going to reach out to these ladies individually as well, because I want to talk further as well and see how I can, offer and be a help in this community, because we just have to band together and be supportive of one another. And, information is how we're going to help each other.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. To both of you, Laura and Rita, one of the things that I've noticed with my father and my stepmother, and this is the thing that, we often talk about what we have to address with them, but I think for the newer caregivers, where we're just starting to step into that space, is that the things that are starting to surprise us. My father, stepmother, and my mother, they all have advanced degrees. Hyper intelligent people. But I think the thing that is surprising is that the things that you as a younger adult would ask them about when you were when I was in my 20s, 30s, even 40s, now you find yourself having to address for them, learning how to operate the computer, for example, email, apps, cell phone, how to operate the television. When they were coming up, there were knobs, and even remote control was a very simple thing. Now, you gotta have at least an associate's degree to figure out how to operate the daggone remote control, and banking is done mostly online, and going to the bank is something that is pretty much passé, and yet that is something that our older parents, our older relatives want to do. And as the world changes, adjusting to those changes is really difficult for them.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I hear this a lot, and, I experienced this with my parents. And, for younger caregivers, what I'd say is just think about all the things that have changed just over the past 20 years. Like, no one would have ever predicted that we would have a powerful supercomputer carried around with us in our pocket. That, you can use it as a phone, but almost everyone uses it for things other than talking to people on the phone. So, I think the changes have really, change happens for all of us. But I think we forget sometimes that there's a learning curve for everyone. And if you use it every day, you just don't even think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the technology is different. You know, I talked to my mom about her iPad, and, you know, every time I go somewhere and have to deal with a new TV, I get frustrated with those remotes too. And so I think really it's about, like, just slowing down and taking a breath and saying, it's okay if I don't know how to do this, and I'll figure it out. And really kind of trying to slow your mind down a little bit before you get too frustrated and angry. My mom was a teacher, and she used to say to me that...
All of my parents are teachers, all three of them.
Well, I mean, your childhood, I'm sure we could share some stories, but, you know, my mom used to say that, you know, when kids needed tutoring, she would never want the parents to do the tutoring for their own kids. You know, and I think sometimes it happens with us, with our older parents, or, you know, because you just like, come on, like, it's this, right? And we don't exhibit the patience we would if it was somebody else. And so, you know, sometimes I think we do need to be reminded about that, and really understanding that there is intense frustration for our aging parents about these shifts that they don't like. So the last time I was with my parents, they hate not being able to go into a bank and talk to a teller.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I think, and they're not wrong, right? It's what they're used to and it's what they want. But sometimes I think it feels like to some of our older adults that society is kind of leaving them behind. And so, you know, our job and what we try to do at the Department of Aging and Community Living is to say, no, you're not being left behind. Let's move with it. And these are things that you can use and we can work with you on.
Well, and before I go back to the phone lines, another example, and you said the thing about the learning curve. My mother is a texting monster. I mean, you know, if I call her and she doesn't pick up the phone, I will get, and sometimes I wonder, you know, is she 79 or is she 19? Because then I will get I'll hit you back, and I'm looking at who is this person? I'll hit you back. okay, but. If I text my father or my stepmother, they're not going to get it, you know, because they don't. Can you call me? You know, and so there for every person, there is a learning curve. My stepmother is trying to text, but again, my mother, her cell phone is always with her. My father, not so much. Stepmother, sometimes, and yeah, and you got to try to, like you said, you got to try to bring them along.
You know, Harold, I think this has been a great part of the conversation, and I just want to add one point that I think this is shows an excellent opportunity to create intergenerational. Opportunity for younger people in your family. So I cared for my mother for almost 15 years, and my children are very young, but they get it, right? And so she was much more receptive of them as they tried to talk to her or show her how to do things. So why not use this if you have younger people in your family as an opportunity to help them connect with their grandparents on another level. And I think the second thing is around the technology. As difficult as technology is getting, there are a number of gadgets, for a lack of better words, that are really made for older adults now, remotes that have larger buttons, and not just for older adults. These can be applied. I use them. And so, you know, using technology and understanding that there are opportunities to simplify some of those gadgets to make it easier, and so those older adults can still feel independent, taking away some of those frustrations. So that's something to look out for as well.
Let's grab Chris. Chris, calling from Maryland. Chris, thanks for hanging on. What's on your mind?
How you doing, Harold?
I'm good.
Thank you for this show, man. All your shows are great.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. This is a really important one.
It really is, because it hits home. You had another caller that was from Maryland that had a parent in North Carolina, and I'm in the same boat. So my question to your guest is, so my mother is doing well. She's 77. She's still driving. She still gets around. But I just found out that she did not continue with her insurances as far as life insurance and those things. What is it that I can do? Because I've checked into some insurances, and it's because of her age, it seems like it's hard to get anything for anybody at that age. And I'm not looking for money to live on. Mm-hmm. I'm just looking for money to be able to give her a proper home-going service. And what is it that AARP can offer that I may be able to tap into for her?
Thank you for your call, and that is a important question. I would say, and because I'm furiously trying to look at my phone at the same time to pull up a number or website for you, but we do, as you know, have insurance on our services side, and if you call this caregiving resource number again, I can give the number again.
It's 877-333-5885. I wrote it down.
Yes, that is the number.
877. Well, tell you what, Chris, it'll be on our website on whur.com after 8:30 tonight. And so you won't have to worry about trying to look for a pen or write it down. It'll be on the website after 8:30. Just go to whur.com and just scroll down, and you'll see it'll say podcast, and we're talking. It'll say, you know, what am I going to call it? I'm probably going to call it care for senior citizens or something like that. And the podcast will be there. The information about both Laura Newland and Rita Shula and all of the resources, so you don't have to worry about writing down anything.
Okay, thank you so much. And Harold, keep doing what you're doing, man.
Well, thank you so much.
The community loves it and needs it.
Well, thank you so much. Take care of your mom. You know,
we only
get one.
I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for her, right?
Well, there you go. There you go, Chris. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you know, it's, you know, this is a challenging time, you know, as both of you have said, but these resources and all of these considerations, big or small, are important to address, and I think the sooner the better. I'll ask, you know, both of you, and I'll start with you, Laura. Any final thoughts?
Sure. I mean, you're right. I think caregiving and talking about it, it's such a heavy responsibility. And for a lot of us, we just culturally, we don't talk about it a lot. So it feels very isolating when you're in that situation. And I felt that earlier this year. My mom, they had surgery and was doing some treatment. And so I went up to Michigan, and, you know, I'm the director of the Department of Aging and Community Living, and it was still hard as a caregiver to know what to do, what questions to ask the doctor, how to follow up, you know, all those kinds of things. And what I'd say is, yes, it's a really incredible responsibility. And I want people to remember that you're doing this as an act of love. That's why you're doing it. And there can be joy in it. And there can be, I think, an opportunity to really grow and strengthen relationships. And it really does take a community. So, you know, let's have the conversations about caregiving. Let's stop, you know, hiding it. Let's stop saying we're okay when people ask us how we're doing. You know, it's okay to say, hey, I'm a little stressed out right now. You know, I'm dealing with this and this. And, you know, you never know what kinds of things can just happen from simple conversation.
Rita, final thoughts from you.
Yes, I totally agree. I think we have to normalize this idea of being a caregiver, and that it is challenging and it can be difficult and you find joy in it. I think the piece that I want to drive home the most is that we must start these conversations earlier and understand that, you know, because you're having this conversation doesn't mean you're going to be in the grave tomorrow. It means that you are going to be able to age with dignity, and you're, as a caregiver, you'll be able to help those in your life that you love age with dignity. And to reiterate what Laura said, as a caregiver, I know how stressful that it can be. It can bring you to your knees sometimes. And to reach out for those resources, AARP.org, and you'll have that information, /caregiving, provides resources for family caregivers from the very beginning, literally to the very end and in between. And so, again, reach out for those supports. You're not alone.
Thank you so much, Laura Newland, Rita Shula. I appreciate you talking to us. That is the Daily Drum for this Thursday, September 30th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.